So I want to start off by saying right up front, calories do count. They've always counted because to say calories don't count would be like saying you don't care how much gas you put in your gas tank from your car. The miles per gallon you get maybe is not as important as a factor to many people, but having a fuel tank, a full tank of gas is important, especially if you're going on a long trip. So try to think about going out of state. Maybe you're going to go on a 10, 12 hour road trip. You wouldn't expect to drive that far on an empty tank of gas and then go, well, when I get there, I'll buy the fuel that I consumed once I'm there so I don't buy too much gas. So that appears to be a lot of people's thinking, though, when it comes to calories, because we've all heard the old expression, you have to put wood in the stove before you get any heat out of the stove. And that's a basic thermodynamics principle, just like your body burning the fuel that you put in it. So a lot of people I hear that have worked out all day or have their Fitbit on, which is their little monitoring device that's so handy nowadays, they will say, well, at the gym, I burned 1,000 calories, so I can eat this whatever it is, ice cream, dessert, hamburger, it doesn't really matter how good the fuel is you're putting in your vehicle because you've already burned what the body needed to get through that workout. So you can't go by what you've already used as an indicator of what you can now eat. Your Fitbit might be great for analytic purposes. At the end of every day, you could say, well, in a normal day, I consume 2,000 calories, and that's what I burned all day. In the morning, when I went to the gym or wherever you do in the morning, you'll say, I normally burn 1,000 calories while doing my workout and running or jogging. So you wouldn't want to put that in after your workout because your calorie consumption is going to drop off once you're done at the gym and your body will go into a resting state of calorie burn on your way to work if you're driving, or you might have a light day. You may work in the office, so your calories, if you look at your analytics on your Fitbit or whatever you use, you'll say, well, from working out till lunch, I only burn 200 calories. Well, why would you put in the 1,000 that you burned at the gym and then hope to burn that because you're going to have an 800 calorie too much or reserve that your body's probably not going to use as efficiently? So what I'm saying is what you need to do, and it's common sense, and once I say it, I usually think, well, that's the stupidest thing you've ever said, Mark, because everyone knows that. But it doesn't seem to be sinking in with most people, because if you know that you're going to do a workout or you're going to have a lot of morning activities, you should get up and have 1,000 calorie breakfast before you start. That way, by the end of it, you have burned all of those calories and your muscles have the energy that they need to get through that workout. So I'm sure I'm not telling you anything new. It's just that it seems like it doesn't always appear to be top of mind when people start their day. And I always remember an old expression that said that you should eat like a king for breakfast, a prince for lunch, and a pauper for dinner. So basically, with that having been said, you wake up in the morning after your body has pretty much burned all the remaining calories you had from that day before, and you're ready to start over. So you would want to eat like a king and have a big breakfast, and then you could go off and do all of that stuff that you need to do, whether it's go to the gym or have an active morning. And then at lunch, you would eat a little bit less because your day is winding down. And then for dinner, you could pretty much go with just a very light meal, because after you eat, how many calories are you really going to be burning unless you're planning on going somewhere, maybe out dancing or go for your jog or something? So you want to keep in mind at all times the calories that you're burning throughout the day and how many you burn for each meal before you eat that meal. And that's why monitoring your calories, and they do count, is so important, because if you're like me and your mornings are more sedentary to where I'm not burning as many calories. I might want to eat a smaller breakfast and then a bigger lunch, but I'm kind of lazy and don't like cooking for myself. So I could still eat a big breakfast and use those calories up throughout the day because the body processes food. It takes so many hours to get it through. Once you've gotten through that digestion period and all the nutrients and energy has been consumed, then it moves on. So you wouldn't want to eat a big dinner because you're going to go to sleep after that. But maybe a bigger breakfast, and then you might skip lunch, and then you still have plenty of fuel in your tank for the trip. So it's just like a road trip to where you might fill up before you leave, and then you can maybe skip that gas station along the trip because you still have a half a tank and go, oh, we'll go to the next town, and then we'll fill up again instead of buying, 10 gallons at every gas station you see. You just make it for the big fill-ups and you do have a little reserve in there. So we as human cars need to monitor our fuel. But the beauty of us is we can go and sputter and be out of fuel for quite a while. We're not just going to stall like some robot that those batteries aren't charged and then it just stands there in a corner like a big dummy. We can keep on moving. And sometimes that's good because fasting is good because it forces your metabolism to burn off stored fat that's in the body. But it usually takes a lot of starvation before it starts doing that. And I've said before in watching Naked and Afraid, some of these people don't lose as much weight after not even eating maybe 100 calories or 200 calories every 2 or 3 days. They still don't lose that chubby body fat that everyone hates so much. They still have that little bit of belly roll or something because the body has a hard time using that as fuel because it's been layered on and it's pretty much the junk. So if you are in a situation where you want to lose that, I've dropped a lot of weight by really cutting my calories a lot and forcing my body over time to consume all that to where I'm down to 10% body fat or thereabouts. It's hard to get a good reading because most of the little devices that monitor that aren't as accurate as if you went into a water tank and did a real scientific measurement. If you have that available to you, way sweet. But most people don't have that. So I'm there 10 to 15% body fat. But you know what? I still have this little bit of thing going on around my belly there that just irritates me now. I can't really pinch an inch and really feel it as much as I used to. So I have gotten rid of a lot of that, and maybe some of it's just poor posture and lazy ass abdominal muscles because I don't like exercising that much. But I have been able to drop my body fat, and that's what most people want to do, is get rid of the fat. So it is your calories and what you're eating. And most people really understand that you should probably put fuel in your tank before you go on a road trip. We're busy and sometimes that gets overlooked. And so we'll still go to the gym, but people will eat a bowl of oatmeal or something and then figure, okay, I'm not starving. I'll go work out now. So you eat 200 calories, but you still burned 1,000. So you're 700 calories in deficit. And that is forcing your body to get its energy from other areas, and it will usually steal it from your muscles before it goes and burns that ragged, crappy fat on your body, because it's kind of like we are, or it's very opportunistic. It's like, well, I'd rather eat this than that, because that just takes a lot of work. A lot of times, also, the body won't burn the body fat because we've loaded up on so many carbs that our insulin levels have gotten too high. And therefore, it's that switch I talked about. It flips over, and now the body is in a process of removing blood sugar and trying to burn other sources for energy. And it will go to the muscles first, because that once that switch is flipped, it can't burn fat. So it can't even burn your body fat. If you just sat there and ate a tablespoon of lard, it's not going to burn that, because it's in another mode, and therefore it's not doing that. So you can't do one thing while doing another, and the body sure as heck can't burn fat when it's removing blood sugar. It's just biochemistry, and it won't work. So, and there's some videos there, but they're using scientific terms, and it's just, it's so hard to even repeat. But if you understand that that's what's happening, you might not know all the terminology and what all these enzymes are, and you can't quote them. They're still going on, whether you understand it or not. It's happening. So we're putting our bodies in positions to where they can't burn the fat, even stored fat, when we're fasting, because it's still clearing blood sugar and doing all these things. And we don't usually fast, you know, for a week at a time. So if you fast a meal or two, that switch is flipped. And then when it flips back, then it'll start consuming the body fat that it's stored. But by then you're starving to death, and most of us are like, I got to go eat. Screw this going hungry crap. So that's kind of a basic rundown on keeping fuel in your tank before you use it, because we are not a car and the body will continue to operate on a deficit. But in that deficit mode, because most people have had carbs for breakfast, they got the calories, but the body is burning and removing blood sugar. So it can't, when it starts going into deficit, it can't burn the body fat. And this is why people struggle with losing body fat, is because they're always in a state of digestion or whatever it is, body chemistry, of always trying to get rid of the blood sugar, because we're always eating carbohydrates. So even if you're hungry and you haven't eaten and you're in a deficit, that switch, when it flips, is on for 4 hours. Well, it's not going to be able to burn that body fat while you're in deficit, because it cannot. So therefore, it attacks the muscles and the protein and all of that. So you're losing what you wanted, which was good muscle tone, because it's consuming it, and it's just a mess. So pretty much like having water in your fuel tank, it's just something that needs to be rectified. And there's ways to do it, and we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. So calories count. And when you consume them, think of it as putting gas in your vehicle. You need to fill up before you go on that calorie burning trip. So before you go to the gym, before you start your activities, you need to load up on and put fuel in the gas tank and then go. Don't look at your Fitbit or whatever it is you're wearing and go, oh gee, at the gym, I burned 1500 calories. Now I can go have an ice cream. Yes, you can. But are you going to burn that now going forward? Well, no, because now it's lunchtime, and that's your slow part of the day, to where you're sitting at a desk or something. And so you ate the calories in excess, and it's not going to burn them. It's not going to burn them because they're full of sugar anyway, but it'll burn the calories. But you're going to have extra now. You're going to have extra tank in your gas, but you're done with your trip. What good is it? It's not going to sit there in your car like it does for a week before you go on another trip where you drive it and be fine. No, the body's going to pretty much run through that, get rid of it, process it, and by dinner, you're going to be hungry again. So what did it do with that extra 200 calories that you weren't burning now? Well, it's just going to layer it on its body fat, because that's what the body does. So calories count. And the reason they count is because it's thermodynamics and biochemistry. And you can't argue with those things. You know, maybe Atkins was right as far as calories not counting. If you're eating a good diet and you're not hungry and you're always feeling satiation and you're okay, but when you put them in your body, it still matters, because you don't go for a 10-mile hike and then sit down and eat. It's too late. You've already burned that calories. It's gone. You rev the engine up and you went on empty. And the difference between you and your car is you'll do it on empty. Your car will just stop. So a little bit of planning can help people go a long way on their diet. And especially if their diet is for losing weight or even getting in shape and all this stuff, because it affects how the body gets its fuel and when it gets it. So we're going to talk a little bit about the types of calories, and then we'll go into, you know, E85 gasoline as opposed to premium unleaded, because there's a difference in that. And then this is how you can cut your calorie intake while maintaining body energy and not starving yourself to death to where you overeat at the end of your day. So stick around and we'll chit-chat a little bit about that, because as important as calories are, the types of calories are also as important. And we've discussed this before, so most of you probably know where I'm going to go with this conversation on carbohydrates, because I'm going to bash carbohydrates because I really don't care if it hurts their feelings, they're inanimate objects. But it may hurt your feelings if you're a carb eater, but we'll get you through that. So you want to put the best fuel in your vehicle, which is your body, before you go and burn it. That's kind of a sum up on this. So we'll be right back and we'll start talking a little bit about the types of calories that we can consume. So I'm making the assumption that most people that are concerned about nutrition are usually concerned about diet and calories and cutting calories because they have a goal in mind of losing weight or getting in better shape, muscle definition, tone, and all that. There's probably thousands of reasons why people are concerned about nutrition, but usually it's health or fitness or weight loss. So most of them apply to the same rules and principles. If you're trying to lose weight or anti-aging, and even in your health, doctors will tell you to cut back on your calorie intake per day. Now you have to remember that that is assuming that you're overeating anyway, and that's why a doctor will tell you, well, cut your calories, because he knows you're overeating, but he doesn't usually factor in the types of calories that you're consuming. So basically, if you're eating 3,000 calories a day and you're only burning 2, then yeah, you should cut your calorie intake. And that's why these starvation diets work, because you're cutting your calorie consumption. And that's what is doing all of this to you. It gives you energy, and then it layers on body fat. It affects your energy levels, your cessation levels, everything, and how you feel during the day. So those diets work because what you're doing is you're actually controlling the calories you eat for a change, instead of just always going at it 24/7. Now, I'm not a believer in eating, you know, 5 small meals a day or grazing or any of that happy crap, because I'm not a herbivore and I don't graze. I don't eat greens. But what they're saying is, you know, maybe just snack here, snack there, munch this, munch that. And it keeps you from feeling starving to death in between breakfast and lunch. You might have a snack, and then between lunch and dinner, you might have another snack or a treat or whatever you want to call it. And it kind of stretches out that 2,000 calories over the day to where you're not sitting there climbing the walls because you're so damn hungry. But what if you put in better calories for breakfast? What if you put in, meat and eggs and dairy? Well, I'm not going to sit there and sell you on that diet, because we've discussed it, you know, and if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, then this podcast probably isn't for you, and pretty much nothing of what I say is for you, because I don't believe in eating that stuff, and there's plenty of research out there of why we cannot digest cellulose-based products, which is most plant life that you munch on, and you can't get the nutrients out of it because you don't have the enzyme, and then if you take the enzyme, that's not natural, so why do that? Because I'm a prepper, and I'm not going to stockpile a year's supply of enzymes just so I can eat something that's wholly unnatural to my body. But if you're into that, then that's cool. So if you, and I'm not talking about micromanaging your diet here. If you're going to eat meat, just eat bacon, eat a steak. Don't sit there and go, well, I need this percentage of protein and this percentage of fat, because that's micromanaging. And that's a whole nother science in itself that will drive you batshit crazy. So just have a steak, have a burger patty with an egg on it. Make a good breakfast, have some heavy whipping cream, or drink whole milk. Hopefully you can get raw milk, you know, if these states start straightening out, but or at least raw milk. But have something that contains fat in it that's natural from the animal, because that is what your body burns, straight up in the story. So eat good fats, because there's 9 calories per gram of fat So I don't mean just chewing on a piece of fat, but in steaks or in bacon or in eggs, in milk, in dairy, you're getting more calories per gram. So you're consuming less as far as bulk, but you're stuffing down your stomach, but you're getting twice almost the calories out of it. So if you're counting calories, then you're going to get more out of a product like a fat product, milk, dairy, cheese, blah, blah, blah. So carbohydrates only have 4 calories per gram, and they have a lot of sugar in them. So what happens, as we've discussed, when you get too much sugar, all of a sudden the body switches modes and it starts getting rid of blood sugar in the body. That's why insulin is in your body. That's why you have that hormone. Because when your blood sugar gets too high, it's a bad actor and it binds to your mitochondria and it does all these horrible cross-linking things. So the body's like, get rid of this crap. If it was so damn good for you to have sugar in the blood and eat carbs, then why does your body produce insulin to get rid of it? Okay, so it's pretty much, and we know insulin is a bad actor. If you become insulin, you know, through diabetes and stuff, it's because your body is no longer able to deal with that amount of insulin to get rid of the sugar. So you become insulin tolerant or resistant. So it takes more and more and more to clear the blood of sugar. So it's not a good thing. So to me, if putting water in my gas tank is a bad thing because my vehicle's going to run poorly or not at all, well, then that's just a big red flag that says, don't put water in it. And then you won't have all these problems. It's like the old joke, you know, my elbow hurts when I laugh. And the doctor says, well, quit laughing. Duh. So you have to be that way. And sugar is not good for you. And therefore, why raise your insulin levels constantly to a level that is so high that you become tolerant to it, almost like antibiotics? They're always creating new antibiotics because we take so many antibiotics nowadays that we've become immune to them. And so they have to keep adding new strains of antibiotics to even fight off the basic things because we've become used to it. So hopefully you can understand why I'm saying it's so important to keep your insulin levels at a natural point of reference. And that would be, or the best way to do that would be to not consume high levels of carbohydrate, because it's the body's going to do what it does. It's going to create insulin and flip that switch. And then you're not getting any energy from any of the fats that you ate. And you're stressing your body chemistry to always be burning sugar and clearing the blood of sugar. And that's just not the way we were designed to operate optimally. So just like your car, it may run on E85, but it's going to run 10 times better on premium unleaded. E85 is just a cheaper form of gasoline, and it really isn't even cheaper. It's just because it's subsidized, but whatever. That's another rant for another day. So think of your food as octane, and the calories, you know, that you're putting in it is the fuel. It's the energy. It's what drives your motor. It drives your muscles, and they like to burn fat. Your body likes to burn fat as its primary fuel source. And we know this to be true because there is no such thing as an essential carbohydrate in any medical book you read. And that goes back 50, 60 years. So it doesn't exist. So I personally believe that why try to reinvent the wheel when it works just fine the way it was created? So if you're burning fat and you're not micromanaging your diet by going, well, I need more protein. I'm going to take protein. I'm going to take protein drinks. That isn't good for you. Because protein turns into a carbohydrate naturally. So it turns into blood sugar also. So just eat 2 or 3 eggs for breakfast, some bacon or a steak or a hamburger. I don't even care if you have ham or chicken, if you like that with your breakfast. And just you get the ration or the ration that you need from fat and protein. and therefore you're in good shape. And then you consume your calories and then go and start your activities. So you start your engine once you've put fuel in it. And then you try to put the right amount in there to where you will consume it during your day. So the beauty of carbs versus fat is that feeling of cessation. If you eat carbs, you're always going to be hungry, because even if you eat 1,000 calories of a highly carbohydrate food, you're not going to get enough energy and your muscles are going to say, feed me more energy. And then you're going to eat again. So you're going to end up overeating during your day in calories, and you're still going to be hungry. That's why people are always starving. You eat a big salad, which has not even any calories in it unless you're putting other stuff in it. And then they put in a fat-free dressing. And so their stomach is full, just like if you filled your gas tank with water, but there's no energy in that food that you put in there. So the body's just going to turn most of the carbohydrates that are in your salad into sugar, and it'll burn that, but you're going to be hungry an hour later. And so if you eat 3 eggs and some bacon or some chicken, or you make an omelet and put a bunch of cheese on it with shredded chicken in there, you're going to get your calories and you're not going to be starving later on, because your body is running and burning that energy so efficiently that you usually have reserves. So when lunch comes around, your muscles still aren't saying, give me more energy, because they're still fine. They still have the fuel that they needed to get through your morning activities and a little bit left over. So you're not tearing down your muscles by consuming them for energy to get through your day. So I guess this is all just a bunch of information, and it probably doesn't help you out immensely. But if you really think about it, you need to figure out how many calories you use in a day. And I would break it down per your meals, which is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So if you are monitoring your calorie burn, then you will eat the right size breakfast to get you to lunch. And then if you eat good food for lunch, not a bagel and some carbs, but you snack on, I don't care if you don't have time for lunch, just chew on a bag of pork rinds, which are so incredibly good for you. But they crunch like a potato chip, so they're really good. Or beef jerky, or some kind of jerky. I find that it's kind of problematic to eat jerky, because most of the meat is stripped of all the fat, probably because of part of the process of making jerky. So they try to get rid of all that. So you're eating a lot of carbs, but even then you're still getting a lot of energy from it. But if you eat a hamburger, I stop at McDonald's, which sounds awful, and I get 2 McDoubles. I only eat the meat and the cheese on it. And it's not a bad meat. It's just an inexpensive meat, which means it's probably more than 80% fat in hamburger. Because when you buy hamburger, if you buy the really lean hamburger, it costs you more. So McDonald's just uses probably 70-30. So you're getting a lot of fat. The cheaper the cut or the hamburger, the better it is as far as fat content. But people are afraid of fat. So I'll wolf down those 4 patties and I'm fine. I didn't eat the bread, so I don't have to deal with those carbohydrates. Because when you eat carbohydrates and fat together, if you eat too many carbohydrates, the body's going to flip that switch, and then all that fat just was a waste of money. And you're not going to get any energy out of it. And for 4 hours, you're not going to be able to burn that fat that you consumed. So avoid that crap. Now, I like to keep my carbohydrates below 75 grams per day. And doing that isn't as hard as like with Atkins, where they want you down to almost, 10, which is very hard to do. And I talked to a friend of mine that switched over to a low-carb, high-fat diet, and he's like, boy, my food choices went from like a plethora down to nothing. And I just kind of laughed and said, well, it was, I love my pasta, or I used to really enjoy it. And I said, but I was never opposed to eating steak 3 times a day either. So the selection went down, But the quality and the taste didn't. It's not like I'm telling people eat a bunch of garbage tofu. You know, we're not switching our diet from eating really yummy food to slimy slugs. So to me, a steak or a burger or a big slice of ham or some chicken is not like horrible food unless you're a vegetarian and you can't eat it without picturing a little bunny face on it. But the reality is you're just, your choices have gotten slimmer because there's less on your menu, but they haven't gotten worse. There's just fewer of them when it comes to what you can eat. So it's not a bad thing. It's just a different thing. So when we go to a restaurant, most restaurants serve breakfast 24/7. So I'll have an omelet for dinner or for lunch. I love eating omelets and eggs and bacon. So people go, oh, you're going to have breakfast for lunch, you know, and it's like, yeah, I'm having food. I'm putting gas in my gas tank. I'm not sitting there telling myself I need to eat certain things for lunch and certain things for dinner, and I don't want to break the status quo. I'm just at the gas station getting gas right now. And so since most restaurants allow breakfast 24/7, a lot of them have whatever they call it, like an animal diet or something like that, to where you can get a hamburger wrapped in lettuce or something useless like that instead of a bun. Even that's better. But personally, I would just rather eat the meat. That's why I'm there. I'm there to fill up, not to impress or to have a pretty plate. And I'm not into presentation. I just want a steak. You can leave all of the greens and the beans and the bread off my plate. Just give me more meat. Now, as far as cost, because I've been listening to people that are nutritionists like Greg Ellis, and he says he eats 2 steaks a day and eggs and stuff. And I thought, boy, that must be expensive. You know, most people are happy to be able to eat 1 steak a day or 1 steak a week. But if you really factor in the cost, if you look at your grocery cart and if you loaded it up with just meat, it's going to be expensive. But that meat gives you twice the calories as all the carbs and the potato chips and all the cereals and all that stuff. So the actual dollar amount, when you factor in how long that fuel stays in your body, it really, cost-wise, because I'm a bean counter, so I'm always adding things up and looking at it. If I ate 2 inexpensive steaks a day or steak and eggs twice a day and then cheese and milk, and like for dinner or sometimes I'll just have a large glass of milk with a heavy whipping cream added. And then that's when I do my last little bit of carbs, and I'll put some chocolate milk in there because I just like chocolate milk. But that gives me plenty of calories. So when you look at the cost factor, and you buy say you buy meat in bulk from one of those guys that drive around with the freezer in the back of his truck, and we get them, you know, we might spend $700 on a bunch of steaks that are freeze, you know, they're, I can't think of the way they seal them, but they don't get air in it when they're in the freezer. And I've eaten those steaks that are a year old, and they're still good because they don't have freezer burn. So to me, it's worth the cost because the freezer bags are expensive. Over a year or even a month, I don't think my food costs have gone up because all I eat is milk and eggs and cheese and meat. In fact, it's probably gone down because I'm not buying all that stuff. Like you look at a box of cereal, it's like $5-6. I haven't bought one in so long, and there's very little energy in it. And yet you're paying $5. So when you load up a week's supply of cereal, a week's supply of chips, soda pop, all this stuff that we're eating, when you go through the checkout with a week's supply of food, when you're eating high carbs and some meat, is say it's $200, or if you just put in a week's supply of milk, eggs, and meat, it might be $200. So because you get twice the calories out of good fat, you're kind of saving money. And you're definitely not spending more. And I just look at it that way because I watch people in their shopping carts and, you know, it's stacked, you know, up above. They have 2 carts and they have a family, obviously. But when you look at most of the stuff as carbohydrate rich food, they're spending as much as I would if I had my family and still living with me, and I was just buying good stuff. So I guess it's like saying if I told you to put premium unleaded in your car every time you filled up, you'd go, yeah, but that's almost a dollar a gallon more. If I could tell you, yeah, but you will get twice the miles per gallon out of that, if that was the physics, it's not. But if it were, like with fat calories versus carbohydrate calories, that is almost the physics of it, then you would probably sit there and go, well, then that's not so bad because I'm getting, you know, 70-80% more miles per gallon by putting premium unleaded in it, but it only cost me a dollar more per gallon. When I do the math, I'm actually paying less per mile per gallon than I was by putting the cheap fuel in there. So it does take some number crunching, but when you really factor in how it all magically works within our body chemical treatment plant, it's awesome. I mean, you're not spending more. Your choices have just been narrowed, but it's not like I'm going to let you go swimming or I'm going to drag you, you know, by your hair. I mean, it's not one of those choices. It's like just eat meat and dairy and poultry and eggs and stuff, which is all good. We all like that stuff. Or eat bags of potato chips and cereal. Well, they both taste yummy. So it's not a horrible decision like we used to play games when we were kids. Would you rather do this or do that? And the decisions were always awful. It's a decision between eating good or eating good as far as taste. But one is, would you rather eat good and get more miles per gallon or eat good and get less? So hopefully that made it clear. So to bring this to some kind of logical conclusion, which I'm always so bad at doing, and then my phone's been ringing so much, I've probably lost a few points or didn't connect the dots properly. If you want to lose weight, which most people do, or if you're into longevity, which is what got me into the diet, then you're going to need to reduce your calorie intake. And to do that, you're going to need to get better fuel in your car. And then that way, you're being able to bring your calories down without eating your body alive and adding fat to it, because it's such a horrible way to, if you cut your calories but you continue to eat the same junky food and get poor miles per gallon, you're always going to be hungry, you're going to be miserable, and you're not going to stay with that diet. That's why diets are fads, because it works for a while, and then people are like, oh God, this is awful. And as soon as they're done losing their 30 pounds, they turn around and go back to their old ways and gain it right back. So what they're doing with most of these diets is just restricting your calories. And of course, you're going to lose weight no matter what you eat if you eat less of it. You know, it's the last bite that does you in, usually, you know, over 30 years. So start making better choices of the types of calories that you're going to reduce those to lose weight. But you won't have to reduce your calories as much if you're eating good calories, because you can lose weight and lose that body fat and live longer and be healthier without even cutting your calories if you just monitor the calories that you need to put in your gas tank. Because see, we're not like a car to where if you put in 20 gallons more than it can hold, it just spills out all over the ground. Nope. We eat it and we're pretty fat and content and happy about it. And then 3-4 hours later, we overfill our tank again. But we don't have the luxury of having it overflow to where we go, oh, okay, I'm full and my gas gauge isn't working. So I just see it running out on the ground. I'm topped off now. We can just eat it until we're stuffed and then wait a half an hour until there's a wee little bit more room in there and then have dessert. So we can actually overeat. So learn your calorie burn and then only put that in, and you will lose weight and body fat because all of a sudden your body is actually burning the fuel you put in there and not storing it as excess fat, because that switch is flipped. Because if that switch is always flipped, you're not going to get the energy. So if you ate 2,000 calories of carbohydrates, you're going to gain body fat. If you cut it down a couple hundred calories, you will lose some weight, but you're not going to lose body fat, but you're still going to be hungry even if you ate 2,000 calories, because you're getting no energy out of it. So you're sputtering all day from meal to meal and then breaking your 2,000 calorie limit by adding more in there because you're hungry. But you're not hungry. You still have food floating around in your belly and it's still being processed, but your muscles are saying, we have no energy. And they send out that feeding signal, and then now you're at 2,500 calories. And then in between lunch and dinner, you're starving. So it sends out a feeding signal, and now you're at 3,000 calories, but you're only eating carbohydrates. So you need to look at it differently.